We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 12, verses 14 to 24. Verses 14 and 15. Tasmata u devotsi cha chodanam pati chodanam pravittin cha nivittin cha shotavyam shutameva cha mamekam eva sharanam apmanam sarvadehinam yahi sarvatma bhavena mayasya yakutobaya. Therefore, my dear Uddhava, abandon the Vedic mantras as well as the procedures of supplementary Vedic literatures. Okay. And their positive and negative injunctions. Disregard that which has been heard and that which is to be heard. Simply take shelter of me alone, for I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, situated within the heart of all conditioned souls. Take shelter of me wholeheartedly, and by my grace be free from fear in all circumstances. Mukam karati vachalam pangam blankayate kirim yakipam samaham mande shiguru jiratarinam om magyana timiranasya gyanan sarasarakaya chakshumini tamyena tasame shiguru vayamam. See, what do you remember from the last class? Yes? Okay, association with devotees can destroy all attachment to material objects. Yes? Without remembering the gopis, I am not Krishna. Kalpit. If one does not associate with devotees or offends them, Krishna will put obstacles on one's path. Later, Shuka? The gopis could not get Krishna out of their heart, whereas the yogis are trying to get Krishna in their heart. Yes. Krishna will not exist if he doesn't think about the gopis.
Which he didn't reveal. The 10th canto appearing to give pain to the gopis.
He did not want to give pain to the gopis, or Uddhava, no. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. They're in Sakya. The mountains are in Sakya. The trees are in Dasya. Yeah. Yes. Brahmana constructs his character. He does not construct building. Yes. He can associate with themselves. Okay. So now this verse reminds us of a verse from Bhagavad Gita very strongly. I'll read it again. Therefore, my dear Uddhava, abandon the Vedic mantras as well as procedures of supplementary Vedic literature and their positive and negative injunctions. Disregard that which has been heard and which is to be heard. Simply take shelter of me alone, for I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, situated within the heart of all conditioned souls. Take shelter of me wholeheartedly, and by my grace be free from fear in all circumstances. So which verse? Okay. Any other verse? Huh? Jai Gunya Vishaya Veda. Good. Sarva Dhammanam Pritaja. Yes. Good. Many verses. It reminded me also of Sarvadharma and Paritaja because it says the first two sentences, disregard everything, give up everything. And then the second was, so Sarvadharma and Paritaja, all the Dharma. Then simply take shelter of me alone. Mamekam Sharanam, Mamekam Sharanam Raja. For I am the Supreme Personality. And here it says, Mamekam Eva Sharanam. Very similar, the verses in the second verse 15, Mamekam Eva Sharanam, for I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, situated in the heart. And by my grace be free from all fear. So Ma Shuchaha again, that Akutobaya, Maya Siya Yakutobaya reminds me of Ma Shuchaha. And this verse especially is glorifying the gopis because they have done this. Now after hearing about the gopis, now Krishna is explaining how to follow the gopis. This is what they did. And they are the example of giving up all dharma and taking exclusive shelter of Krishna. So in the purport, four lines down, Lord Krishna also mentioned he is captured by his loving devotees and even by those who sincerely associate with his loving devotees. Among all the devotees, the gopis of Vrindavan were described by the Lord as having achieved such a rare state of pure devotional service that Lord Krishna personally feels constantly indebted to them. So na pariyaham, we heard in the 10th canto, I cannot repay the debt. According to Sri Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Lord Krishna previously kept the gopis' love for him concealed in his heart because of its confidential nature and the Lord's own gravity. Finally, however, even Lord Krishna could not remain silent about the intense love of the gopis. And thus, in these verses, the Lord reveals to Uddhava how the gopis loved him in Vrindavan and brought him fully under their control. So he could not remain silent, and his association, he broke down now, and he's speaking his heart. The Lord relaxed in secret places with the loving gopis, and by conjugal spontaneous affection, the greatest love was exchanged between them. As explained by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita, one cannot achieve perfection of life merely by renouncing the material world or by executing ordinary sectarian religious principles. One must actually understand the identity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by associating with his pure devotees, one must learn to love the Lord in his personal, original form. So, jamma karma chame divyam. You must love him, you must know him, what are his activities and who he is. Okay? So then, the Lord has elaborately explained to Uddhava the system of philosophical analysis of the material world, and now he clearly concludes that it is useless for Uddhava to waste time in fruitive activities or mental speculation. Actually, Lord Krishna is hinting that Uddhava should assimilate the example of the gopis and try to advance further in Krishna consciousness by following in the footsteps of the cowherd damsels of Braj. So this is the path, the highest path, and we should follow it. Vishnu Chakravarti says, after describing the devotees who associate with the saintly devotees, Krishna praised pure bhakti yoga situated in the gopis and others as being very rare. Vishnu Chakravarti says, the burning tears of love for the gopis, which were deeply suppressed in his heart, suddenly burst forth with his statement in verse 10, in which he indicated the gopis had reached the highest level as devotees. To inspire Uddhava with that high level of pure bhakti, Krishna speaks this verse. So give up the rules and prohibitions, that's the yoga process. Give up prescribed acts and forbidden acts, that's the karmakanda. Should I take sannyas? No. Give up the dharma of the sannyasis, renunciation, as well as the dharma of the householders, enjoyment. Sarvadharma parityaja. Don't hanker to hear about dharma in the future and forget what you've already heard. I mean, Bhagavad Gita, he waited till the end, but now he couldn't wait, actually. It's right in the beginning here, almost, of the Uddhava Gita. We're hearing the conclusion, yes?
Today, this is like following the path of obedience.
Ragam, it means to give up everything, surrender to Krishna only, just what he says in this verse. It means sarvadharma parityaja and only Krishna. It means exactly this. What this verse says. That's how to follow. He's telling how to follow. He's telling Uddhava how to follow the gopis. And he says, by all methods, by all bhavas in the mind, like Dasi and Sakya, taking support of me, surrender. You'll be fearless. By my mercy, you are not qualified for karma again. But if you identify with those processes and fear sin and continue samsara because of neglect of duties in gyan, I am here to deliver you from those two fears. So Mokshi Shami Mashuchaha, you do not fear. Sri Uddhava said, so let's see what his reaction is going to be. O Lord of all masters of mystic power, I have heard your words, but the doubt in my heart does not go away. Thus my mind is bewildered. Okay, Uddhava is bewildered. So this now, if you listen to this purport, it's a summary of chapters 10 and 11, the whole first paragraph. So let's listen carefully. In the first verse of 10th chapter of this canto, the Lord stated, one should take shelter of him and execute one's duties within the Varnashram system without material desire. Uddhava interpreted this statement as recommending karma mishra bhakti, or devotional service mixed with a tendency toward fruitive activities. It is a fact that until one understands Lord Krishna to be everything, it is not possible to retire from ordinary worldly duties. Rather, one is encouraged to offer the fruits of such work to the Lord. Okay, so after the 24 gurus, he starts with karma mishra bhakti, karma yoga. Then, verse 4, the Lord recommended one retire from worldly duties and systematically cultivate knowledge, accepting him as the supreme. Uddhava understood this instruction to indicate jnana mishra bhakti, or devotional service to the Lord mixed with secondary desire to accumulate knowledge. So first we have karma mishra, then we have jnana mishra. What next? Beginning with verse 35 of the 10th chapter, Uddhava inquired about the process of material conditioning and liberation from material life. The Lord replied elaborately, stating that without devotional service, the process of philosophical speculation can never be perfected. So, okay, so then devotional service. Then chapter 11, verse 18, the Lord emphasized the importance of faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In verse 23, Krishna extensively widened his discussion of devotional service, emphasizing one should be faithful and hear and chant the glories of the Lord. The Lord concluded that both the development and perfection of devotional service depend on association with devotees. So we've got karma mishra, jnana mishra, and devotional service, hearing and chanting, faith. Verse 26 of the 11th chapter, Uddhava inquired about the actual ways and means of devotional service and about the symptoms of devotional perfection. And in verse 48, Lord Krishna stated, unless one takes to the process of devotional service, one must attempt for liberation will be useless. One must associate with devotees of the Lord and follow in their footsteps. Finally, in chapter 12, verse 14, well, not this verse before, the Lord categorically rejected the paths of fruitive activities and mental speculation, and in verse 15, recommended one exclusively surrender unto him with all one's heart. Having received such elaborate and technical instructions on the perfection of life, Uddhava is bewildered and his mind is afflicted with doubt about what he should actually do. Lord Krishna has described many procedures and the results of such procedures, all of which ultimately lead to the single goal of Lord Krishna himself. Uddhava therefore desires Lord Krishna to state in simple terms what should be done. Arjuna makes a similar request of the Lord at the beginning of the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. According to Śrīla Viṣṇunāda Chakravarti Thakura, Uddhava is stating here, my dear friend Krishna, first you recommend I perform worldly activities within the Varnashram system. Then you advised I reject such activities and take to the path of philosophical research. Now, rejecting the path of jnana, you recommend I simply surrender unto you in bhakti yoga. If I accept your decision, in the future you may again go back to your original point and recommend worldly activities. By his boldness, in disclosing his mind, Uddhava reveals his intimate friendship with Krishna. So, the comment of Viśṇunāda Chakravarti says, Uddhava uses crooked words arising from sakyaras. So that was his conclusion, that actually he's joking with Krishna as a friend, and he says, now you're telling me again, you're telling me this, that, and now you're telling me bhakti. What if you say again, go back to karma? Then what? So just tell me exactly. I mean, it seemed pretty clear, verses 14 and 15. It seemed pretty simple and clear, but evidently Uddhava wants more. Okay, so now we're going to get something else, which is, I think, more difficult to understand than what he said before. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Uddhava, the Supreme Lord gives life to every living being and is situated within the heart, along with the life air and primal sound vibration. The Lord can be perceived in his subtle form within the heart by one's mind. Since the Lord controls the minds of everyone, even great demigods like Lord Shiva, the Supreme Lord also assumes a gross form as the various sounds of the Vedas, composed of short and long vowels and consonants of different intonations. Okay, So we'll go to the middle of paragraph 1. Vishnu Chakravarti is commenting. Lord Krishna therefore wants to inform his devotee, my dear Uddhava, when I told you that analytical knowledge is to be practiced, pious duties are to be performed, devotional service is obligatory, yoga procedures must be observed, austerities are to be executed, etc., I was instructing all living entities, using you as my immediate audience. That which I've spoken, I'm speaking now, and will speak in the future, should be understood as guidance for all living entities in different situations. How could you possibly think you were meant to practice all of the different Vedic processes? So it's not like it's all for you. It's for many different people in different times. I accept you as you are now, my pure devotee. You are not supposed to execute all of these processes. Thus, according to Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, the Lord, with light-hearted and encouraging words, reveals to Uddhava the deep purpose behind the variety of Vedic procedures. Just be as you are now, my devotee. So then, the last paragraph, or this talks about, oh yes, there's a very technical paragraph here about all these adhara, the chakras of the body, and how you can perceive the Lord in different chakras according to different sound vibrations. So this is also something to do with the Lord's Vishwarupa, universal form. Now we'll go to the last paragraph. According to Jiva Goswami, this verse may be understood in another way. The word Jiva indicates Lord Krishna, who gives life to the residents of Vrindavan, and Vivara Prasuti indicates that although Lord Krishna eternally performs his pastimes in the spiritual world beyond the vision of the conditioned souls, he also enters within the material universe to display the same pastimes. The words Guham Pravishta indicates, after displaying such pastimes, the Lord withdraws them and enters into his unmanifest pastimes, or those pastimes not manifest to the conditioned souls. In this case, Matra indicates the transcendental senses of the Lord, Svara indicates the Lord's transcendental sound vibration and singing, and the word Varna indicates the transcendental form of the Lord. So you can take it in two different ways, what he's saying here. So it doesn't sound simpler, it sounds more complicated. The word Stavishta, or gross manifestation, means the Lord becomes manifest in the material world, even to those devotees who are not completely advanced in Krishna consciousness and whose vision is not completely purified. Manomaya indicates somehow or other Lord Krishna is to be kept within one's mind. For the non-devotees, Lord Krishna is sukshma, or more subtle, most subtle, because he cannot be known. Thus, different acharyas have glorified Lord Krishna in different ways through the transcendental sound vibration of this verse. So evidently you can get a lot of different meanings of this verse. So let's hear what Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati says about this verse. When Krishna and Balaram left for Mathura, the gopis became greatly afflicted due to the pain of separation from Krishna. They could not imagine any other source of happiness than the association of Krishna. This has been described in the 10th verse. In the 13th verse of this chapter, the purport of all Vedic literature has been explained. Then in two verses, the supremacy of the Supreme Lord has been described, so 14, 15. The Lord is the ultimate shelter of everyone, and all the Vedic mantras are transcendental sound vibrations that have emanated from him. Sridhar Swami has described the word vivara as meaning the basis of everything. This has been elaborately discussed in verses 36 to 43 of the 21st chapter, so this you will find out later on. Transcendental sound vibration appears in two forms, gross and subtle. From the subtle form, the life air, intelligence, and mind are manifest. From the gross form, the senses para, prashanti, madhyama, and vaikari manifest. So these are different levels of sound. The mind and senses are particularly described as para, or pranamayi. When subtle substance is associated with a transcendental sound vibration, it is known as manomayi, prashanti. When pranava or om is manifest, it's called buddhimayi, madhyama. When pranava transforms into alphabets, it is called vaikari. Vaikari produces different meters, such as brihati, but all of them will produce Krishna, and this we will hear in the next verse. So this verse 17 is like a little introduction to the next verse, which is a little bit more understandable. When sticks of kindling wood are vigorously rubbed together, heat is produced by contact with air, and a spark of fire appears. Once the fire is kindled, ghee is added, and the fire blazes. Similarly, I become manifest in the sound vibration of the Vedas. So this is a very interesting verse. The sticks of kindling wood rubbed together as the Vedas, their ordinary material, the regulations of the Vedas. So we'll read the purport. Lord Krishna here explains the most confidential meaning of Vedic knowledge. The Vedas first regulate ordinary material work and channel the fruits into ritualistic sacrifice, which ostensibly reward the performer with future benefits. So you're rubbing the wood together and you're getting warm, and then finally the fire appears. And you add ghee and the fire blazes. So the fire is actually Krishna. So when you follow the Vedas, then Krishna is supposed to manifest. That is the actual confidential meaning of Vedic knowledge. The real purpose of the sacrifice, however, is to accustom a materialistic worker to offering the fruits of his work to superior Vedic authority. So they follow authority. An expert fruitive worker gradually exhausts the possibilities of material enjoyment and naturally gravitates toward a superior stage of philosophical speculation and his existential situation. So work, knowledge. By increased knowledge, one becomes aware of the unlimited glories of the Supreme and gradually takes to the process of loving devotional service, the transcendental absolute truth. So work, knowledge, and bhakti, eventually. Vidaishta savairaham eva vidya. The Lord gradually becomes manifest in the progression of Vedic rituals, just as fire is gradually manifest by rubbing of firewood. So the fire increases by ghee, havisha samedate indicate. By progressive advancement of Vedic sacrifice, the fire of spiritual knowledge gradually blazes, illuminating everything and destroying the chain of fruit of work. Now Krishna considered Uddhava to be the most qualified person to hear this elaborate transcendental knowledge. Therefore, the Lord mercifully instructs Uddhava so he may enlighten the sages at Bharuikashram, thus fulfilling the purpose of the sage's life. So the most confidential meaning of the Vedas is from the Vedic sound Krishna will manifest. That is the most confidential. That's the purpose of the Vedas. So in the first canto, second chapter, verse 32, there is a nice purport. It says, the Lord as super soul pervades all things, just as fire permeates wood. So he appears to be of many varieties, though he is the absolute one without a second. So Srila Prabhupada said in the purport a very similar thing as this verse. Just like if you have from wood, you can get fire, or butter from milk. So the presence of the Lord as Paramatma can be filled, Prabhupada said, by the process of legitimate hearing and chanting. Then you can get the Paramatma, the process, the presence of the Lord. He says, of the transcendental subjects, especially treated in the Vedic literature like Upanishad and Vedanta. But then he says, Bhagavatam is the explanation, so that's the best. Bhagavatam is the best. Then he says a very nice thing. As fire is kindled from wood by another fire, the divine consciousness of man can similarly be kindled by another divine grace. His divine grace, the spiritual master, can kindle the spiritual fire from the wood-like living entity by imparting proper spiritual messages injected through the receptive ear. So by hearing from the spiritual master, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, then we make Krishna appear. Krishna can appear. The pure devotee can do that. So we will see what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says about this. Verse 18. The pastimes of the Supreme Lord become manifest when there is glorification of the Lord in association of devotees. Just as fire, which remains in an unmanifest state, is produced by the friction of two pieces of wood, then becomes a blazing fire with the help of air and ghee, the manifestation of the Lord's pastimes, along with his names, forms, and qualities, is realized by means of kirtan. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, his forms, qualities, and pastimes become manifest. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains that this verse means kirtan. This points to kirtan. By kirtan, then Krishna's pastimes and name and form, everything will be manifest. Kirtan is the like the Vedas. It's like the wood. Yeah, it's like the it's Kirtan manifests Krishna. Kirtan manifests Krishna. By doing kirtan, it's like rubbing the wood together, and then Krishna appears. Now, this verse talks about the Vedas, but our the essence of the Vedas is Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. As Srila Prabhupada said in a commentary in third canto, when Garuda was flying and carrying the Lord to the spiritual world, then the sound of Garuda's wings was the sound of the Vedas. And it was Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So that's the essence of the Vedas. So we're very fortunate that it has been made simple for us. Everything is in the holy name. We just chant Hare Krishna and Krishna can manifest. Verse 19, the functions of the working senses, the organ of speech, the hands, legs, genital and anus are, and the functions of the knowledge acquiring senses, the nose, tongue, eyes, skin and ears, along with the functions of the subtle senses of mind, intelligence, consciousness and false ego, as well as the function of the subtle pradhana and the interaction of the three modes of material nature, all these should be understood as my materially manifest form. So is this the 24 elements here? Are we missing? What are we missing? So at the end of the purport, it says, one who can understand the expansion of the Lord within subtle and gross material manifestations gives up his desire to live in this world. In the spiritual world, everything is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. The exclusive feature of the material world is that here the living entity dreams that he is Lord. A sane person giving up this hallucination finds no attractive features in the kingdom of Maya and therefore returns home back to Godhead. So Vishnu comments again on the four para, Pashyanti, Madhyama. And he says that speech is measured in four phases. Three are called para, situated in prana at the base of the spine. Pashyanti, situated in the mind, in the navel, and Madhyama, situated in intelligence, in the heart. The sages do not reveal their forms. The fourth, called Vaikari, is speech in the vocal organ. And so everything is very technical and everything. It's good we don't have to know this. You won't be asked to know this. Just know kirtan and Krishna will manifest. Or hear Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna will manifest. Verse 20. When many seeds are placed in an agricultural field, innumerable manifestations of trees, bushes, vegetables, and so on will arise from a single source, the soil. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gives life to all and is eternal, originally exists beyond the scope of the cosmic manifestation. In course of time, however, the Lord, who is the resting place of the three modes of nature and source of the universal lotus flower in which the cosmic manifestation takes place, divides his material potencies and thus appears to be manifest in innumerable forms, although he is one. So end of the purport. From the example, so this will, we'll get the conclusion here. From the example of the seeds sown in an agricultural field, we can understand innumerable manifestations may arise from a single source. So you have a field, but because the seeds are different, then so many different things come. So Krishna is giving us this world, but we have different seeds of desire. So therefore, so many different types of forms appear. But they're all coming from Krishna. Similarly, although the Lord is one, he becomes manifest in innumerable forms throughout the expansion, through the expansion of his different potencies. So it's an explanation of creation and how everything's coming from Krishna. And that now everything is, that so everything's coming from Krishna and now everything is maintained in this verse by Krishna. Just as woven cloth rests on the expansion of lengthwise and crosswise threads, similarly, the entire universe is expanded on the lengthwise and crosswise potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is situated within him. So now this is maintenance. Conditioned soul has been accepting material bodies since time immemorial. And these bodies are like great trees sustaining one's material existence. Just as a tree first blossoms and produces fruit, similarly the tree of material existence, one's material body, produces the various results of material existence. So how many of you can remember when you were an insect and flying around and biting people? We don't remember that body, or the body of a fish, or the body of a dog. We don't remember, thank goodness. But we had those bodies. Since time immemorial, we've been having all these different kind of bodies, and we're getting fruits of those bodies. And then we get results of material existence, this tree of material existence. Purport, before a tree produces fruit, blossoms appear. Similarly, the word pushpaphale, according to Śrī Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakur, indicates happiness and distress of material existence. So these are the fruits. One's material life may appear to be blossoming, but ultimately there will appear the bitter fruits of old age, death, and other catastrophes. So, this is coming. Attachment to the material body, which is always inclined toward sense gratification, is the root cause of material existence, and it is therefore called samsara taru. Tendency to exploit the external energy has existed since time immemorial, is expressed by the words purana karmatmaka. Okay, so this, and then next sentence. The material universe is an expansion of the illusory potency of the Supreme Lord and is always dependent on Him and non-different from Him. This simple understanding can relieve the conditioned souls from endless wandering in the unhappy kingdom of Maya. So now we're hearing about the tree. This body is the body that the gopis forgot. They didn't have any awareness of this material body. But we are here and we're in these bodies and we're certainly aware of them. So now we're hearing what is the fruit if we're attached. This tree, verse 22-23, of material existence has two seeds, hundreds of roots, three lower trunks and five upper trunks. It produces five flavors and has 11 branches and a nest made by two birds. The tree is covered by three types of bark, gives two fruits, extends up to the sun. Those lusty after material enjoyment and dedicated to family life enjoy one of the tree's fruits. And swan-like men in the renounced order of life enjoy the other fruit. One who, with the help of the bona fide spiritual masters, can understand this tree to be a manifestation of the potency of the one supreme truth appearing in many forms, actually knows the meaning of the Vedic literature. Okay, don't look at your computers and don't look at your books. We'll see. Who read the purport? We've got two seeds for this tree. Yes?
Simple advice.
Okay. Hundreds of roots. Hundreds of roots, yeah? Material desires? Innumerable material desires which chain us to this material existence. Three lower trunks. Yes?
Three
modes. Very good. Five upper trunks. You're looking and then tell me. Yes, yeah. Close your book. I saw you look. Yes, Jagaguru. Yes. Five gross material elements are the five upper trunks. Very good. Okay, five flavors. Five flavors. Okay, right. Sound, form, touch, taste, and aroma. 11 branches. Yes? Did you raise your hand? No. Yes?
10
senses in mind. Good. Here's one everybody should know. The two birds in the tree. Soul and? Paramatma. Not soul and jiva. Soul and paramatma. Jivatma is soul.
Soul and super soul.
Okay. Paramatma and jivatma. Three types of bark on the tree on the outside. Yes?
Kapha, pitta, and vata.
Kapha Vata Pitta. Very good. So imagine this tree. We have this. We all have this tree right with us. Don't have to imagine it. It's right here. Kapha Vata Pitta. Right now, the pitta is too much for me. Okay. The two fruits of the tree. Yes. Yep. Enjoyment and suffering. And who gets the fruit of suffering? Yes. Lusty householders get the fruit of suffering. Who gets the fruit of enjoyment? Wrong. Yes. Yes? Swan. Swan-like men. Paramahansas. Paramahansas get the fruit of enjoyment. And, yes?
Also, this gridra doesn't mean only lusty people, but also means
gridra. Vultures. The vultures.
So we have swans and vultures.
Swans and vultures. So the vultures get the suffering, and the swans get the enjoyment. Those who are busy trying to enjoy the company of beautiful women, money, and other luxurious aspects of illusion enjoy the fruit of unhappiness. The opposite of what they think they're going to get. One should remember that even in the heavenly planets there is anxiety and death. We heard that, right, in the 11th chapter, or 10th. Those who have renounced material goals and taken to the path of spiritual enlightenment enjoy the fruit of happiness. One who takes the assistance of bona fide spiritual masters can understand this elaborate tree is simply the manifestation of the external potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is ultimately one without a second. So it's connected to Krishna. If one can see the Supreme Lord as the ultimate cause of everything, then his knowledge is perfect. Otherwise, if one is entangled in Vedic rituals or Vedic speculation, without knowledge of the Supreme Lord, he has not achieved perfection of life. And this is what Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says also on this verse 22-23. For the condition, lusty householders enjoy one of the fruits in the form of distress. For the conditioned souls, both heaven and hell are miserable. The swan-like sannyasis enjoy another fruit of this tree in the form of happiness. Knowledge of the absolute truth is always relishable. One who, with the help of the worshipful spiritual master, understands the various manifestations of the one Supreme Lord, actually realizes the confidential purport of the Vedas. So now, next instruction, verse 24. With steady intelligence, you should develop unalloyed devotional service by careful worship of the spiritual master. And so, Uddhava is saying what to do, and Krishna is saying, use your intelligence and serve the Guru. With the sharpened axe of transcendental knowledge, you should cut off the subtle material covering of the soul. He is recommending an operation that we should do to our subtle covering. We should use the axe of transcendental knowledge and cut off the subtle material covering of the soul. Upon realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you should then give up that axe of analytic knowledge. So it's useful to remove your illusion, but then once you realize Krishna, then you don't need to do it. So Bharijan was explaining that Krishna now is placing Gyan in perspective of assisting one in attaining the platform of bhakti. It can help you. But then once you have bhakti, then you don't need to use this analytical knowledge anymore and to destroy your subtle body. Bhakti will automatically dissolve the subtle body, as we heard Kapiladev say that. So, purport. Oh, here, and you exchange your analytic process for fully surrendered devotional service. So purport, because Uddhava had achieved the perfection of personal association with Lord Krishna, there was no need for him to maintain the mentality of a conditioned soul. Thus, as described here by the word sampadya chatmanam, Uddhava could personally serve the lotus feet of the Lord in the spiritual world. Indeed, Uddhava requested this opportunity at the beginning of this great conversation. As stated here, Guru Pasana Yaika Bhaktiya, one can achieve pure devotional service by worshipping a bona fide spiritual master. It is not recommended here that one give up pure devotional service or one's spiritual master. So you give up the sword of knowledge, but you don't give up your guru, or what else? What did I just say? Devotional service. These two you never give up. But the knowledge, this cultivation of knowledge, you can give up.
So sword is like cultivation of
knowledge. One should fully understand each and every aspect of the material creation is the expansion of the illusory potency of the Lord. Such knowledge works as a sharpened axe to cut down the roots of material existence. So if you just go out and you have this knowledge, that's enough. Then you will become free. But Krishna has clearly explained in this chapter the cowherd damsels of Vrindavan were not interested in an analytical approach to life. They simply loved Lord Krishna and could not think of anything else. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught all his devotees should follow in the footsteps of the cowherd damsels of Raj in order to develop the highest intensity of selfless love of Godhead. Lord Krishna has elaborately analyzed the nature of the material world so that the conditioned souls who are trying to enjoy it can cut down the tree of material existence with this knowledge. The words sampadya chatmanam indicate a person with such knowledge has no further material existence because he's already achieved the personality of Godhead. When such a person should not loiter in the kingdom of Maya, perpetually refining his understanding of the illusory creation. So you don't have to keep analyzing everything. Once you understand, I'm a servant of Krishna. I should just serve Krishna, and you're just engaged in service
just
to Krishna.
Give up the analytical knowledge.
Yeah.
As soon as
you do. So, and there's another very nice verse like this in the 7th canto, 15th chapter, verse 55. Yavannikaya ratamatma visho fakalpam tate garishta charanart chanaya nishatam gyanas simachutabalo tataras dasatru swanam datushta upashanta idam vijayat. As long as one has to accept a material body with its different parts and paraphernalia, which are not fully under one's control, one must have the lotus feet of his superiors, namely his spiritual master and the spiritual master's predecessors. By their mercy, one can sharpen the sword of knowledge. And with the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's mercy, one must then conquer the enemies mentioned above. In this way, a devotee should be able to merge into his own transcendental bliss and give up his body and resume his spiritual activity. So the words Prabhupada emphasizes our achyuta bala, that this is the strength of achyuta. You need this achyuta bala. Simply getting the weapon of jnana is insufficient. Actually, one must sharpen it by serving the spiritual master. So you get the strength to hold the sword of knowledge, you get the strength to hold it by the guru. To sharpen that sword, you need the guru. And then later down in that purport, he explains that this Gyanasi Machutabala, he says the sword of knowledge is given by Krishna. And when you serve the Guru and Krishna to hold the sword of Krishna's instructions, Balaram gives you strength. Balaram is Nityananda. And he says, Rajanda Nanda Naje, Shachi Sutta Hoylaje, Balaram Hoylo Nitai. So Balaram Nitai comes with Lord Chaitanya, and they're so merciful that in this age of Kali, you can very easily take shelter of their lotus feet. And they come just to deliver the fallen souls. So Prabhupada concludes, one should accept the sword of knowledge from Krishna and be strong with the mercy of Balaram. And therefore, we're worshipping Krishna Balaram. So you can go to Krishna Balaram, to the deities, and you can understand Krishna, he's giving you the sword, and Balaram's giving you the strength to hold the sword. And the guru is sharpening the sword of knowledge. So Prabhupada also says that if one has no connection with Nitai, Balaram, even though you're a very learned scholar, a jnani, who has taken birth in a very respectable family, this will not help you. He said, therefore, we have to conquer the enemies of Krishna consciousness with the strength received from Balaram. Okay, and he also explains in this purport that the guru is representative of Nityananda Balaram too. Okay, so any questions on these verses or comments? Yes?
Yeah,
Why don't we just hold the strength of Krishna? Because Krishna doesn't want to do everything. He has Balaram do some things too. Why should Krishna do everything? But he's getting his strength from Krishna. But if you want to get strength, you have to go to Balaram. For us, it's Balaram. Krishna manifests his strength through Balaram and his mercy, Nityananda. His mercy through Radharani and Nitai. And so that is the way we can approach Krishna. We can't approach him directly. He gives his ways to approach him through his devotees and through his through Balaram, who is the greatest, first Adi Guru. He's Adi Guru, Nitai Balaram. So he wants us to go through Guru. Yes.
Different aspects.
Different aspects.
Samvit, Ladini, and Samvit.
But Krishna is not. Is he? I thought it was Purnamashi. I've read that it's Purnamashi, who is Samvit. And Radharani is Sladini and Balaram is Sandini. And I've heard that these are presiding over his different potencies and manifesting them, and are them, are personification of them. But Krishna is not personification of his potencies. He's the enjoyer. So I never heard that he was
TLC,
huh? Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. TLC. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Must be in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Must be there. Sandini. Existence. Samvit is knowledge. And he says, according to teachings of Lord Chaitanya, it's Krishna. And I have read that it is Purnamashi. I have read that it's Yogamaya. Yogamaya, yeah. Yogamaya, yeah. Of course, Krishna is everything. He's Adi everything. Adi Guru, Adi Vladini. But no, Vladini is Radharani. He can't exist without Radharani, without these gopis. And he's not Krishna. Oh, as Lord Chaitanya, he managed. He managed to understand Radharani and to be in her mood. To be in her mood. Yeah, right. So that's Gyanasim. Krishna is giving knowledge. I mean, even that quote. Bala is Balaram and Achyuta Bala. Gyanasim is, it's Krishna with the knowledge. That quote there. There's only two in that verse. But the third one is Sladini. Sladini. Krishna is, yeah. Krishna is giving the sword knowledge. Krishna is giving the sword of knowledge. Gyanasi. Balaram gives the strength. The guru is sharpening. By serving the guru, you sharpen the sword. That's all in the purport of 7:15:45. It's all in the purport. First, you have to get on the boat, and then you have to get off the boat. To cross the river. And then we can go on with that one, you know. The sages have crossed in the boat and they've left the boat on this side. And the boat is Krishna's lotus feet. If you just approach it, the ocean shrinks. Okay. Narayan. And also Krishna and Dwaraka. Krishna and Dwaraka he carries. Yeah. But they don't get permanent liberation, nirvana. Yeah, the Buddhists. I read it somewhere that they don't go to the Brahman; they go to the void. It's still, where is it?
Pradhan.
They go to the Pradhan. They don't get liberation.
But Pradhan is not void.
Yeah, well, it's void enough. Okay, you can have this discussion after the class. Yeah. No. Anyway, the thing is that they don't attain the Brahman. They don't go to Brahman. They remain in this material world in a place that has no form and no variety. Yes. The Buddhists, they have what? Oh, bhakti for Buddha.
Yeah.
It will help them go to their place. That's why they can go to their void, because they're worshipping Buddha. But if they, you know, what happens if they, that's why they get some success. They get some success. Yeah, I forget where I read it. Do you remember where it is? It's written. It's somewhere. I don't know. No. They just get Nirvishesh. Or is it Shunyavadi? Nirvishesh. Yeah, their desires stay with them. They still keep their material desires and they come back. They don't get Nirvishesh. They still have, even your Prarabdha Karma is still there. They cannot free themselves from Prarabdha Karma. Only by chanting the holy name can even the Brahman realized. They still keep their Prarabdha Karma. They cannot be free from that. According to Sri Rupa Goswami and Namastika. Even those who go to the Brahman, they keep their Prarabdha Karma and they must come back. They keep their that subtle something, yeah. They keep it, yeah. So if they develop love for Buddha, then that will help. But if they just want to go into the void, then where is Buddha? See, here's an example. We have among our students today one who was tricked by Buddha. You worship Buddha with love, and he became a devotee. It works. But only in the case of devotees.
I heard in Sri Lanka and other places also that the devotees of Lord Buddha offer candles and incense and all these things. They actually have
bhakti for Buddha. Yeah.
In Nepal, Bangladesh,
even
in France.
And there are several schools. Well, there's a discussion that originally Buddhism was some kind of a Janamishra bhakti or something. Huh. And then this atheistic Buddhism was a heresy that spread all over Shunyavada. And you can see, like in Vajrayana, this Tibetan Buddhism, they say that if you worship the Buddha of Mercy, one of the Buddhas, Buddha of Mercy, you can go to his planet by chanting one mantra, you can go to his planet, and then you can stay there forever, free from lust and anger and without merging into the mind. And in Japan there is this Pure Land Buddhism. They say just chant the names of the Buddha of Mercy and offer him all you need, and then you will go to the Pure Land and stay with him forever.
Very good.
So for Buddha Loka.
So there are some schools which are officially called Shunyavada.
Oh, very good.
But this is rare. Nowadays mostly this atheistic heresy has overcome.
Interesting. So you were one of those rare schools of...
No, I was... I was chanting.
Oh, you took the chanting of the...
Mercy. Now, I'm sure that's mercy of this, our Ashwara, Bodhisattva, and...
Well, you got the mercy.
And this Bhakti Ananda Sami, he studies, he said that Mathura was actually the place of... 25,000 Buddhist monks, and they lived very happily with Krishna Bhaktas together because they were not the Shunyavadis. And the guru of Ashok Maharaj was from Mathura. But his brother he started spreading this Shunyavad Buddhism, and he was kicked out of India to Sri Lanka. And then that's where the contemporary form of Buddhism
is coming. Wow. Amazing.
Buddhist monks accept me in Thailand.
Yeah, I know. In Thailand, it's just finished. Yeah. They accept me. There's something, you know, if a fish falls into your bowl from the ceiling, you should accept it, you know, something they were saying. Well, he's an incarnation, so. According to, where did I read? Laku Bhagavatamrita, all of them have their own spiritual planets, all of the incarnations, says in Laku Bhagavatamrita. They all have planets, spiritual planets. Kalki, everybody. I mean, he doesn't just kill demons, he does other things too. You know, he's famous for killing the demons. But, you know, he has a family, he has everything, you know. He doesn't just do, he does that when he comes here. Yeah.
Well, that mentioned that Jesus Christ has a planet.
Yeah, he did mention that. No, I have heard that. He said that they asked, where will the Christians go? He said, they will go to Christ. And other times I've heard he has said it's Brahmaloka. They will go, the good Christians will go to Brahmaloka. The perfect Christians will go to Brahmaloka.
How do you say that, good Christians?
I mean, perfect. Vegetarian, you know, they follow the four regulative principles. and you know, follow Jesus, whatever, his instructions. They follow the four regulative principles and have developed love for God. Yeah, so that's, yes. Now make it very short question. Only chant Hare Krishna or take prasad if they won't chant. Oh, you can tell them about the mantra of mercy, yes. Buddha's mantra.
Or we should respect
what was his name before? I don't know. I don't know him. Bhaktianand. Well, Om is Radha Krishna and the living entity, so there you go. Om itself is all three. Ju and the lotus. Okay, on this we should end the class on a very sweet note. Hare Krishna.